What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. John Harrison, Mark Vandermeer here with you. And you know what? We don't want to mess around. We told you through Mark Vandermeer's tweet. Hi, Mark, by the way. How are you doing?
Hi, Johnny.
I told Mark said, Will Anderson right out the chute, defensive player of the year. So here we go. Will Anderson, defensive player of the year, exclusively with Mark and I. We had a blast talking to Will. It's actually our first time talking to Will one-on-one. We had a blast. Here it is, Will Anderson Jr.
Will, how's it going for you off season after such a successful rookie campaign?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's going great, man. No school, no homework. Don't have to walk to class. So yeah. It's good. No study hall or anything like that, man. So it's been great, man. Just getting really to, like, take care of my body and really, like, focus on myself and nutrition and all the good things to make sure, like, leading up into OTAs, I'm good.
Do you think about this time last year, getting ready for the draft, all the workouts, combine, everything you had to go through to get drafted, and this year you have none of that?
None of that, man. I don't miss that process at all. That's one, probably one of the most stressful processes ever, like trying to maintain weight, trying to like hit a certain speed, everything like that. But, you know, I embraced it, took it all in. It was a great opportunity just to, you know, meet a lot of guys and really get my body right in a way that I haven't before.
Well, Mark kind of said it, you know, talking about your year last year. I think we buried the lead. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Defensive rookie of the year. What was honors like being out there? You win defense player of the year. You got CJ winning offense player of the year. And then, of course, Andre Johnson goes in the Hall of Fame. What was that honors experience like being out there and kind of experiencing that for all you guys?
Man, it was just a blessing, man, to share that moment with all those guys. You know, me and CJ came in this team together, man. We both got drafted 2 and 3. And to share that moment with him and his family and my family to be there, man, and Coach Ryan's and the McNair's and Nick and, you know, Andre and his people, man, it was just a blessing, man. It's just all honor to God, man, and just being able to be in there and be in that setting, but also just see so many other great athletes and how they maneuver around everything and how they are.
We all watch the games, but how did the year evolve for you individually as a player? Light going on. Yeah. All right, I'm in the NFL. Oh, this is how I make these kinds of plays. How did all that go for you?
Yeah, man, it was – I mean, like, from the first game from Baltimore, it was most definitely a learning lesson. But, like, sometimes it came a little natural, but then, like – when teams start studying you and start game planning for you and things like that, I think that's just one thing that I have to do a really good job of adjusting to and not getting so frustrated, because a lot of times when a team would start to, you know, game plan for me and stuff like that, or chip me, or, you know, double me and stuff like, I would get really frustrated and really get down on myself. But I had to take accountability and be like, look, this is going to happen. So, like, how can we take that next step? So this offseason, like, that's really something that I'm going to focus with my pass rush, is, like, taking that next step in that area of my game and not getting frustrated with myself.
That took week two, Will. The Colts were well aware of you by week two of what you could definitely do. Do you have a moment that stands out more than any other? Your first sack was against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Is that the one that stands out? Is there a moment that stands out for you more than any other?
I would say the playoff game against the Browns. Just as a team, man, it was awesome to see the city. It was awesome to see the fans, the lights, everything like that. And the energy on the sidelines was just going crazy, man. It just, that's the type of brand that we want to have every game, you know, throughout the building, everybody. And then just the first game, that's like my first sack against Lamar. Yep. So that's one to remember.
Yeah.
How hard is it to play through injuries? Because I noticed you were doing this. You know, your foot was rather heavily wrapped toward the end of the season. But how is that, overcoming that week after week, Will?
Yeah, man, it's all a part of the game. You know what I'm saying? And it's also a mindset. For me, like, just being at Bama, but my whole life being in college, all the coaches I have, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's ultimately your decision. Like, either you want to go out there and go play, but it just shows what type of competitor you are, what type of warrior you are. And for me, I stand firm on my faith, knowing that God makes no mistakes. You know, I'm going to be good when I go out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to make anything worse, you know. But I just want to go out there and play for the guys beside me, man, because we put in so much work this whole offseason. Let's just go leave it all on the field.
Will, we've got to know you a little bit off the field. You're maybe the sweetest, nicest person there is. I mean, you have such great manners. You're just an incredible young man. But I've said this to Mark in his ear as I'm down on the sideline. I'm like, Will is literally twitching. Like, he's in his stance and he's twitching. When you are on the field, I almost look at it this way. Off the field, you're Will Anderson Jr. On the field, you know, the whole Terminator thing, it really feels like that's what you become when you're on the field. Do you go to someplace mentally, like, different on the field Do you have to do that to play the play the sport that you play? Kind of how do you deal with kind of the dichotomy of who you are off the field, which is just a gentle, sweet soul on the field? Nobody wants to even try and block you because of how you play.
Yeah, most definitely. I think I take myself to that point to, like, I'm getting ready to go play football. Like, I'm getting ready to go play a game that's physical. You're going to get hit. You got to hit somebody back. And for me, it's just, like, I don't need any extra anything from anybody. Like, it's the fact that, you know, somebody's lining up against you and trying to stop you from getting what's yours. And I had a saying all the time in Alabama, like, don't be denied what you want. Like, go get what you want. And that's my whole mindset. Like, this person in front of me is trying to stop me from getting what I want. So I have to go take it. So that's just my mindset and how I get myself ready. Like, this person in front of me is really trying to stop me from being the best that I can be.
What about free agency? Danielle Hunter on the other side of the line now. So what do you think of that? Some of the other acquisitions, maybe.
Yeah, man. Like, it was so exciting. I met him at the Pro Bowl. So it's just so crazy. I met him at the Pro Bowl. We chopped it up a little bit. And now we're with the same agency. So we got to eat dinner and everything like that and really, like, you know, get to know each other a little better. And then when I found out the Texans were signing him, man, I met him up in the office today, and I was just jumping around like a little kid. Like, you should have seen me, man. I was literally just jumping up and down. Like, I was so happy. And I was like, bro, like, this is what I wanted right here, man. Like, just somebody opposite of me that teams fear. Like, I know that's a hard worker, bro. He's physical. He's going to go strike tight ends, and he can rush. Like, I know he's had double-digit sacks since he's been in the league. So, and then just to get an opportunity to learn from him as well, man, that's what I'm most excited about. Like, a vet like that, somebody that's been through, you know, everything, that knows the game, I'm just ready to learn from him as well.
Will, we had a chance to talk to Danielle, and I've talked to pass rushers that have come into our building for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued by just pass rushing.
Yeah.
And I asked this question, is pass rushing for you more an art or a science? Like, is it more kind of technical in your field, like hand goes here, do this? Or is it more, you know what, I got to paint a little bit different picture. I got to maybe paint outside the lines here to be able to get what I want. Do you look at it as more an art or a science?
I see a little bit for both sides. And I think if for me, it's the side. So, like, my left side, that's like my art side. And then my other side, that's like my science side.
Right.
So, like, I'm really good on one side of just being crafty of, like, I can throw some moves on that side. But my other side, I have to break it down.
Right.
Like,
more technical.
Yeah, more technical. Like, okay, this is what you got to do here. So, just a feel for it. But I just kind of say it depends on the side that I don't want.
So, you mentioned teams preparing for you based on what you do. What about you preparing for teams, watching film?
Yeah.
How does all that go during the week for you when you're getting ready for a game?
Oh, it's great. I think I learned that skill in high school. Like, I would be Friday night, I was watching the game after the game, watching another opponent after the game was over. Like, that's how much I love the game of football. So, watching film, it was a little different in the league because it's just more detailed.
Yeah.
So, I had to, like, Rankins was a great vet for me, man. He helped me out a lot. Like, he taught me how to, like, extend, like, how to watch film a little better. But other than that, like, just taking the notes from him, like, getting on it, like what the tackle is doing, what the running back is doing, what's the quarterback mannerisms, how far is he like setting in the pocket, all those things, how many kicks the old tackle's taking, so what's the center doing with the ball, guards, I'm watching them. So just taking that next step of watching everybody and not just my guy.
Yeah, Titus was tweeting about how one-on-ones are going to be in training camp this summer. that's going to be fun. You know, one of the things, Will, for you, you go to Alabama, the first year you're there, you win a national championship.
Yeah.
Next year you play for one. The next year you go to Sugar Bowl. I mean, Alabama, it's all about winning.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, you've been about. You come here and the Texans win. But we hadn't been winning before that. I mean, obviously you knew this. That's why we were picking, you know, 2 and 3 in the draft, because we had not been good. But we go as far, I mean, seemingly as we could go last year, getting a divisional playoff round. And I know after the game, you were, I don't know the right way of saying this, but it struck you pretty hard that we had lost that game.
Yeah.
In getting that far, though, it was huge for the team.
Yeah.
But now, how do we take the next step? How do the Texans go beyond that? How do they get to, you know, I don't want to say be the Alabama of the NFL, but how do they get to that point where they're playing in Super Bowls and they're challenging for championships every year?
Yeah, I really think that was a really great, you know, test for us. I think that showed everybody what you have to do to be able to be prepared for a situation like that, taking care of your body, the longevity of the season, everything like that. And I think the plan that Coach D'Amico has, it's an awesome plan. Like, he knows how to get us prepared for a game. So, like, now we know what to expect. Now we know how to be more detailed in practice. Now we know what it takes to try to have to win those games. Like, we got to get to the quarterback better. We got to be dialed in. We can't have a lot of MEs. Like, everybody got to be taking care of their bodies and stuff like that. So, that's the next step. It's just everybody, like, like being detailed, more locked in, and taking care of their bodies for the longevity of the season.
Great stuff, Will. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank y'all for having me.
Great stuff there with Will Anderson Jr. I wanted to get to one question with him, Mark, that I didn't. We got to this question with his teammate, but we were kind of running out of time. They kept saying, like, you got 2 minutes. We kept pushing it. So I knew I couldn't ask him another question, but I wanted to get his thoughts about Nick Saban retiring. Wanted to see what he had to say about that. So you'll hear what Christian Harris had to say either later this week or beginning of next. We got all kinds of players that you're going to hear from over the next few days. You're going to hear Tank Dell on Wednesday. You're going to hear Nico Collins on Thursday that we did, but we got a little snippet with Drew Doherty. You caught up with him. We'll have Nico Collins a little bit later in the show. We also had Jalen Petrie and Christian Harris. Did I hit everybody?
Well, I want you to tell the folks.
Oh, Jimmy Ward, too.
Jimmy Ward.
Yeah.
By the way, Jimmy Ward. I think we need Jimmy Ward show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Jimmy Ward show. Ladies and gentlemen, tell the listeners where we're going to be tomorrow, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be at Momentum BMW. Right there off of Southwest Freeway, Momentum BMW.
Inside the Beltway. Andy joins us in the flesh. We'll be live at 6.
So come hang out with us. We're there 6 to 7. So I'm going to start my day, as Aggies like to tell me, in God's country. I'm going to A&M Pro Day tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
So I'll drive up in the morning and come on back. Even if it was in the afternoon, I could make it back because our show's at 6. And it's not that far down there. I always like that drive. I always like going down there. So McKinley Jackson, Demonte Richardson, Edge Cooper, a bunch of Aggies, Layton Robinson are going to be doing work at A&M Pro Day. And we'll see if Nick Caserio is going to be there throwing like he was a few years ago, which we told that story, which we were joking around with him at the Combine about, which was pretty funny. So we'll imagine he's going to be there. But Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter signed. It was interesting to hear Will give you because when you meet Danielle Hunter and you see Will and you see how excitable Will gets, and you see Danielle gets pretty excited on the field, but he seems like a pretty laid-back guy. Those two are going to be an interesting combination. But got me thinking. I saw this tweet today, Mark. I get your thoughts on this. Bleacher Report did a best pass rushing units in the NFL. They did a top 9 because I can't find number 10. I've looked all over for number 10. I can't find number 10. So I don't know what they did with number 10. So it started at number 9.
All right.
Okay. Las Vegas Raiders. Christian Wilkins added to Max Crosby. Not bad. I mean, Max Crosby on his own puts these guys in there. So Raiders at number 9. New York Jets number 8. We saw that pass rush up close last year.
They were good.
That was not fun. Quinnen Williams, the beast there, but they've got Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald. They no longer will have Bryce Huff, but number 8, New York Jets. I can see that. Number 7, Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, boy. You're going to make me upset now, aren't you?
Yes. The Indianapolis Colts are number 7. Now, I want to be nice about this, but who really scares you on the Colts pass rush?
Nobody. Well, it's the surge up the middle that scares me and what can result from that. It's
bingo.
Not the edge guys in particular.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't say edge passing rush units. It says total. But even at that point, Buckner's a problem. He always is. Mm-hmm. Grover Stewart's always a problem. He got those two back. But any of the edge guys for the Colts scare you?
Quiddy Pay?
What's Quiddy done against us in 2 years? He's not done really anything.
No, nobody frightens you. It's just, can you protect up the middle? Can you enable your quarterback to step up in the pocket?
Right.
Those things don't always show up on the stat sheet other than incompletions or eventual sacks.
Right.
Or bad throws that result in picks. But it's surge up the middle. So I guess, but they're saying pass rushers?
Pass rush unit.
Unit.
All pass right, so rushing unit. Unit.
All right.
I don't know. I'm not
Wilkins,
buying
Wilkins, by the way, back to the Raiders, had 9 sacks last year.
Yeah,
Crosby is always a terror.
Yeah, he's a terror.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles, number 6. Now, if Hassan Reddick moves on, as some have discussed, I don't know if it's got as much juice, but all those guys they drafted from Georgia, Jalen Carter, but Fletcher Cox retires. They still have Brandon Graham, I would imagine, for one more year. It's not a bad pick at number 6. Number 5, the Cincinnati Bengals. Just out of curiosity, how many sacks did Trey Hendrickson have? Oh, no, he had that one in the forced fumble against us. But still, Bengals at number 5. Hendrickson, right. They lose DJ Reader. Got Sam Hubbard on the other side. Joseph Osai. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Number 4, the Buffalo Bills. Mm. Ed Oliver, Greg Russo. Still have Vaughn. It's okay, I guess. I want to say they signed somebody on the edge as well. But either way, Bills at 4. Number three, the San Francisco 49ers. They got all kinds of guys. Javon Hargrave inside, Nick Bosa outside, just signed Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, Bosa alone makes them terrifying.
Number two, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith.
When they're on, they're really good. They were not on here at NRG Stadium. But when they are on, they are frightening.
Number one.
Who is it?
The Cleveland Browns. Miles, Zadarius, guys inside. So let me repeat.
Again, on and off. Although Garrett here in the regular season matchup.
I think he only had a sack, if that.
But they were good.
But yeah, Zadarius was a killer in that first matchup.
Yep.
So number one, Browns, two Steelers, three 49ers, four Bills, five Bengals, six Eagles, seven Colts, eight Jets, nine Raiders, best pass rushing units in the NFL. You notice that I missed a team.
Yeah, you missed the Houston Texans, Johnny, and they are not in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it because younger team, all right? Bernard had 12 and a half last year, gone.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring in Danielle Hunter, what did he have, 18?
No,
he had 13 or something. Wait, no, he had 16 and a half. My bad.
16 and a half. Led the league in TFL, so that's against the run. So this is just pass rushing. So 16 and a half.
Yep.
Will had 7.5.
And he had the pressures and all that.
Right.
But let's just go sacks. Let's keep it simple here.
Sacks.
That would be, if they were together last year, statistically, 23 and a half. I think that's second or third all time in Texans history if you get Hunter to put up 16 and a half with somebody else getting 7.
Danico Autry had 10 plus.
Yeah.
Those three together. Now, I know when a team adds a couple of guys, like, I get it. But to have kept them out, not only to have kept the Texans out of your top 9, but to have put the Colts in front of them.
Yeah, that's not paying attention. They have big names, but Danielle Hunter's a big name. And Will Anderson Jr. should be a big name. I know 7 sacks is not going to light up SportsCenter, but Defensive Rookie of the Year should. And you always look at these things like, all right, the guy's going to get better. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. You hope it happens that way. But the Texans set an all-time franchise record for sacks last year.
Right.
So you should take some of that into consideration. And by the way, it still bothers me that D'Amico didn't win Coach of the Year and Nick Caserio did not win Executive of the Year and all that. I just don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. So we ended up with, what was our final number of sacks last year?
I don't have the total in front of me.
It was 50.
Yeah, something.
50-something.
Right. It was good. But I was thinking tandems. I was really thinking tandems for the Houston Texans.
Right.
And I go back in history,
mm-hmm.
and the Houston Texans in 2015 rather, had their best sack tandem in franchise history. Watt had 17 and a half, and Whitney had his all-time best 12 in that year.
They were
15.
15, yeah.
The number three defense in the league. They got after it. Then you had John Simon. John Simon had 5 sacks for the Texans, and he arrived, what was it, week 5 or something that year?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Clowney had 4.5, by the way, in case you're wondering, in 13 games played. He's never had double-digit sacks, as we all know. We always say that about him, but he can affect the game in multiple ways. It's not just about sacks.
These pass-rushing units, the Colts ended up with 51 sacks last year. Ebukam had 9.5. Pay had 8.5, so they had 18 between them. They didn't have anybody with double digits. Buckner had 8.
See,
Grover
Stewart
got hurt. Grover Stewart only had 0.5 sack.
You get 3 guys with 8 in that range.
Right.
That's pretty good. You get a few others. Remember, the Texans last year had Grenard 12.5, right? And nobody else had double figures.
Right.
Yet they had their all-time best year. And we were just giving you some of the numbers. That's with Mario, 14 sacks 1 year. Watt doing what he did, all-time sack leader in franchise history. Whitney with the 12 that year. You had 12.5 last year as your high watermark for an individual, yet you had your all-time best sack season as a franchise. Shows you that team sacks, getting it from all over is better probably.
Right.
It's also really helpful to get a guy who's going to get double teams.
What was the best pass rush duo in Texans history?
That's it, Watt and Whitney, that year. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Now, Mario had a good year with a Moby chipping in with 5, and Mario had 14. They got up to 19 as a duo. I mean, that's not bad, but it's not unbelievably great either. But they really don't have too many other years like that where, you know, two guys are really getting after it. I thought 16 would be impressive statistically, and it's really not. Yet you had the number one defense in the league. Whitney, 7.5 sacks in 15 games. Clowney played 14, had 6 sacks. That's it. Yet we all know how effective that defense was in keeping the Texans in these close games, despite Brock Osweiler, 99 passing yards at a victory. So many close games that year and the year before, and you had outstanding defensive play. But it's not just about the sacks. Like we said, it's takeaways. What was the year Demps had the 7 picks?
2016.
I should.
It was 2016 because he got back in 2015 because the Hard Knocks year. It was 2016.
Hold on. Demps has 6 in 2016. What am I missing here? I always thought it was 7. Anyway, close enough.
Yeah.
Andre Howell had 4 the year before that when they were number 3 in the league. So
those 2 years, it got to a point where I was so happy to see the defense go on the field. It was so much fun to watch those defenses get on the field. I thought about 2018 because that was the 1 year that we all talked about Watt, Clowney, and Merciless all staying healthy at the same time. Watt had 16, Clowney had 9, Whitney only had 4, and we only had 43 as a team.
Yeah.
That's wild to think about because we thought about, oh, those 3 guys are staying healthy. Oh, wow, this is going to be awesome. And really, between them, they just had 25 sacks.
But you got picks.
But you got, yeah, you did. How many interceptions that year? Oh, my gosh. You had a ton of them that year. You had 15 interceptions.
Okay.
Almost 1 per game that year. Andre Howell had 3. Justin Reed had 3, including the pick 6 against Washington. Zach Cunningham had a pick 6 against the Browns. I remember that. So, yeah, as long as the sacks pay off, if they pay off interceptions, that's fantastic. But I was thinking about 2018 from that perspective. But I think it's hard to come up with 9 pass rushing units better than the Texans. It was interesting to kind of look at the comments of people saying down below. A lot of them are asking about the Texans. Some were saying, how are the Colts in there without in front of the Texans or even the Jags? Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, okay, I kind of get it, even though I don't think either one of them is a really good pass rusher. Even Josh Allen getting his 2.5 against the Texans in week 12, I didn't think it was a tremendous performance, to be honest. He had a sack and a half where he was unblocked or unaccounted for. Now, that's on the scheme, and that's great. Mike Caldwell did a great job. It'll be Ryan Nielsen this year. But to not be included in the 9, okay. There's more to prove at that point for that entire group.
And they really, look, if you're going to do a list like this, you really do have to look at the whole unit. And I know they do, it's easy to say San Francisco. Okay, great. Right. They must be good, right? And I don't have all the numbers in front of me, team numbers. But that goes for picks as well. You were just going over some of the good interception seasons for the Texans. In 2014, remember they led the league in takeaways? They had 20 picks as a team that year. But guess what, Johnny? The high watermark individually was a tie, 3-way tie, with 3 each.
Yeah.
A.J. Boye, Kareem, and Jamal Roll had 3 interceptions in 10 games.
Jamal Roll? Yeah. Holy cow. Blasted from the past.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you have it.
My goodness. All right. So hopefully the pass rushing unit is going to get better and better and better. But what about the running backs? Nick Caserio addressed the running back questions from Sean and Seth this morning on Payne and Pendergast. We're going to do a little Texans audio jukebox next with Nick Caserio right here on Texas All Access. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. John Harrison, Mark Vandermeer coming at you. It's time for Texans Audio Jukebox. Now, I don't sing, so I'm not going to sing, but sometimes I do. And if you're old like the two of us, you know what a jukebox is. A lot of you are like, I don't know what a jukebox is. Well, it's kind of like Spotify, but in this really big machine where you would go and you would put a quarter in and you'd hit B6 and then you'd get exactly what you wanted to hear, which was Loverboy or Foreigner.
They have to still exist somewhere, and they should, Johnny.
They should.
It's fun to go up there, look at it. You could talk to girls up there.
There used to be one at every, like, diner booth.
Yeah. Oh, those are great. The flip.
Yes, the flip ones. Yeah. Those are fantastic. So jukebox is great, but this jukebox is coming straight from Executive Vice President, General Manager Nick Caserio, who's on with Sean and Seth today. Now, one of the things that we know that D'Amico Ryans talked about it in his last press conference, was getting better with two things in particular. Defensive line, the transformation there continued. Danielle Hunter added, D'Anico Autry added, Foley Fatakasi added, Tim Settle added, and we know the departure, Sheldon Rankins, John Grenard, and Malik Collins. So we talked a lot about that. The other one was the running game, to wit, changes in the backfield and some updates on the offensive line. So we're going to go to our Texans audio jukebox and hear what Nick Caserio had to say about how the Texans went about acquiring Joe Mixon.
With Joe, he was released. Likely he was going to be, I think he was going to be on a waiver wire probably the next day at 4 o'clock, and then he would become a free agent. And then you would probably, there was going to be interest in Joe. Joe's a really good player. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be competition. So we try to get ahead of that. So we picked up the phone and we talked about it internally first. Like, number one, do we have interest in the player? Do we think he fits? Okay, we feel good about the player. All right, that's step one. Step two, we'll talk about what you asked about there a little bit relative to his personal situation. Mm-hmm. And step three was pick up the phone. Hey, would you guys be interested and trading the player? We'll give you, you know, whatever the pick was, and we agreed to the trade. I think, you know, and that's how we kind of came to the agreement. We're able to acquire the player on the team, and the commitment that we made to Joe. This is a player that has been a very consistent, very productive, very durable player over the last however many years. I mean, he's usually out there. I mean, he's got good balance. He's got a good running style. He's versatile. You play in a passing game. So from a football player standpoint, we felt this is a player that we wanted to be a part of our program here moving forward.
All right, Mark, good stuff there. I always love the process and how these trades come to be. We've seen this before. And I go back to 2014. If you remember 2014, it was during a mini camp, I think it was. Was it mini camp when this happened? Texans were going to release TJ Yates, made it known publicly, put it out there. I think OB even talked about it at a press conference. But they didn't release him. They just put that news out there. And it forced the Falcons to say, hey, we'll trade you Akeem Dent, a linebacker that's not playing for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make a straight-up player trade because we need a quarterback here in Atlanta. You get Akeem Dent. It ended up working out for both sides. We've seen this happen a lot. Now, there had been rumors and news about the Bengals releasing Joe Mixon.
Wait, back to the TJ Yates thing.
Yeah.
Because that was a lesson in a lot of things. This, right? Putting it out there, and then you end up making a trade of you never know what's going to happen in life, because Akeem Dent and TJ Yates end up back on the Houston Texans together.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, both eventually on the coaching staff of the Houston Texans.
That's correct.
And to further the story, Yates ends up back at Atlanta. Right?
Yes.
As a does he go back to Atlanta as a player? No, he's pretty much done.
Done.
And he comes back to the Texans off his couch.
And then where did he go to go coach?
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
But he survived the Arthur Smith purging.
Right.
He's back with the Falcons right now as quarterbacks coach. So that's cool. And Matt Schaub was actually on that staff last year as an offensive advisor. They gave him some title. So a lot of you never know what's going to happen in this business examples right there with that Yates news. And one more thing, Johnny, that Yates trade showed you, hey, Rick Smith was pretty sharp at these things.
Absolutely.
As well as many others. But the Matt Schaub dismissal, they actually made a trade to get him to the Raiders when they let him go. That was another one. He got stuff for TJ Yates and Matt Schaub when the whole world knew that the Texans would likely have to cut them.
Dead
yet
and
they
gone.
Didn't. Yeah.
And that's what the Bengals were able to do. They were going to release him. You heard in a clip, they were going to release him. And as Nick said, you release a guy, there's going to be a market for a guy like Joe Mixon. They're going to be suitors. Could you cut that off at the pass? The Texans were able to do that and jump in there and end up making the move. I loved it. And you don't give up much. I think it was a seventh rounder in 2025. If you're the Bengals, you're thinking, look, we were going to release him anyways. Now we get a little something for him. And if you're thinking about how little that little is, the Texans got picked 232 from the San Francisco 49ers for Malik Collins. They then packaged that with the deal with Minnesota when they made the move down from 23 to 42. So you never know what little lanyap, as you'd like to say, is attached to a trade deal, and how do you get to that trade deal? Well, that was how they got there. So I was, when I heard that, in my mind, I kind of figured that was how it was going to go. The Texans obviously had not been able to sign any of the running backs that were free agents. Looked out there, saw running back at Joe Mixon, had every quality they were looking for. Big, strong, great hands, as we found out. My fingers are still recovering. And thought he could end up being a player for this squad, but circumvent the process. Hey, let's make a trade. I'll give you a little something. Give that up to make sure we get the player. We don't need to get in some sort of, you know, battle as they potentially or seemingly did against the Jets and the Bears for Keenan Allen. That didn't work out. You don't get into that. You just make the trade. Here you go. Because at that point, the Texans are like, look, we can take on his contract.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna kill us. They ended up getting an extension, but they knew it was not going to kill us. If you end up taking on the Keenan Allen contract, ooh, that's salty.
Yeah,
that's a salty, salty
that's
number.
Thing that happened over the weekend.
Different.
We found out that, and from Keenan Allen himself, that the Texans were interested in him. Now, had they made that deal, Keenan Allen wants all the money.
Yes,
he didn't
does.
Want to take a pay cut, and he was clear on that. That's another thing he said. So you'd have to pay him the money. Now, you know I've always loved Keenan Allen. I know Andre loves Keenan Allen. I think
yep.
you do, too.
Big fan.
Really good wide receiver, no question. Said he was coming off his best season. Why should he take a pay cut? Getting more seasoned, long in the tooth, as we say, from mm-hmm. time to time. So you never know when it slows down. You know, sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it's more sudden than you want. And I'm not saying it will for him, but you were going to take that risk
yeah.
had you acquired him. I think, Johnny, I don't want to say they dodged a bullet or anything like that. I would have loved to have Keenan Allen on this team. I would have celebrated. I would have thought it was cool. I would have been rooting for him to play forever for Houston. But yeah. now that you don't have him, I'm thinking this could work out really well for you. You have other opportunities in the draft here. Maybe there's another veteran that comes along that we're not even thinking about.
Well,
at this
there's
point.
One that I've thought about that I sent you. Who's the name I sent you? He's still out there.
Wait, were you sending me T. Higgins?
No. Who? The other Bengal.
Oh, you're Boyd.
Tyler Boyd's still
He's
out there.
He's still out there.
He's kind of a, if Keenan Allen is tier A, kind of inside slot receiver-ish, Tyler Boyd is, I think, in that next tier. So he's still out there. Now, he's a free agent, so you won't have to worry about a trade. But that's the passing game. Let's get in the running game.
All right.
Damian Pierce. It's a name not talked about as often lately, because especially during free agency, it was always about motor, and then it was about the other backs you're bringing in. Then it became Joe Mixon. Oh, Joe Mixon's the guy. Sean and Seth asked Nick Caserio about Damian Pierce and whether the light can go on for him in year three.
DP's a great player. He's helped us, you know, win a number of football games. He's got good skill. I think, you know, we've all been in the league and seen the league now. You need two good backs. So Damian's good back. He has good skill. So once we get started here in the offseason program, we'll see what improvements a player can make. A lot of this is about individual ownership and the fact that, you know, Damian was honest enough and accountable that he wants to improve and get better. It says a lot about who he is as a person. I think that's the type of mindset and the type of people that we want to continue to have in our building. So DP is going to help us win football games, and glad DP's here. He's got a great attitude. He's been in the building here, you know, over the last few weeks. We have a number of players, honestly, we have like 25, 30 players that are in the building working on their own volition, preparing for the start of the offseason program. So it's a credit to them. But I think DP is excited about the offseason, and everybody should be excited about the offseason just in terms of their individual improvement and just try to become a better football player, because that's what this is about.
Mark, your thoughts. Damian Pierce going into year three. I know you and I always talk about this. We've seen players, good rookie campaign, second year not as good, third year, man, the light goes on, whatever the case might be. We've seen it happen before for different players. Damian Pierce could be one of those guys. I know that you probably can't 100% bank on it, but if you go into the season and think Joe Mixon's our number one guy, there's no doubt about that. What do we think we can get out of Damian Pierce this year that we weren't able to get out of him last year?
I'm hoping he's Aerosmith. Because Aerosmith, their debut album was so good,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they dipped a little bit. There was some decent material. You know, there was a 75-yard touchdown run equivalent in there.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, train kept the rolling. There was
right.
some stuff.
Right.
But not until you get to, like, Toys in the Attic and Rocks do they really hit their stride.
Correct.
So I'm going classic rock albums here. So three people enjoyed that. But I'm going to tell you this. There's no way you are ready to give up on a talent like that.
Nope.
He had a rough year. You see, he still has the talent. Anybody can pop off 75 yards for a TD in today's NFL.
Yes.
You know, there's juice there. He's just got to figure out how to play in the system. Maybe they have to figure out how to utilize his services better. I'm not sure what needs to be done. But what were we saying at this time last year? We were saying, running game all set. You just got to mm-hmm. add to it. You added Devin Singletary in free agency. Had they signed him by now this time
yes,
last year?
I think so.
Okay, maybe just about or whatever. But you thought, all right, good compliment to DP having Singletary, having Motor on the roster. And obviously it didn't work out for Damian last year. Don't give up on him. Give him a shot. Give him training camp. See how it looks. You know, he's got that juice. He is not going to give up. So let's just see what you can get. Now, you don't want to rely on him saying he's the guy in 2024, which you obviously haven't. Joe Mixon's the guy. But you need 1, 2, 3 punches in this league at that position. So keep him around and see if he can get back to it and get toys in the attic, rocks, that kind of production out of him.
I take it back. Motor signed on March 21st, 2023.
Jeez, that's later. That would be 3 days later than this.
Very much later.
And it feels, believe me, 3 days from now is going to feel very late in free agency compared to even where we are today, because it was a week ago that it got started with the negotiating period.
Bordering on, all right, we're on to the draft now.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, free agency kind of continues. But it's kind of a little bit of a lull, but there are still some guys obviously out there. I mentioned Tyler Boyd a little bit earlier. Now, we're sticking with the run game. And obviously, Damian Pierce, Joe Mixon are going to have an impact. There's no doubt. But there's another player that could have a significant impact on that, and it's a guy that we really haven't seen a ton of. We didn't see any of last year other than training camp. We saw a decent amount of as a rookie. The jury has been out because he's been dealing with injuries. He was injured all last year, and that's Kenyon Green. Here's what Nick gave as an update on Kenyon Green, the injuries in him this offseason.
Yeah, honestly, KG is probably as far along as he's been at any point. So, you know, he's dealt with a lot. And, you know, I think he's excited about the offseason here. So I think this will be the first really offseason that he'll actually have the opportunity to train and actually go through an offseason program. So certainly moving in the right direction, doing some things outside the building that are hopefully helping him become better football players. So, I mean, as long as they work hard, as long as they have the right attitude, as long as they show up, as long as they're diligent, consistent, they're going to improve. And in terms of when they're on the field, we'll do what's best for the player. We'll do what's best for the team with really the eye. That, you know, the most important thing is kind of making sure that they're ready to go for training camp when we need them. So we'll go through the spring. And once we get a little bit closer here, I think the official offseason program starts April 15th. So we'll kind of see whoever shows up, where those players are at that time. And then as we get into May, we'll kind of see what sort of progress they've made.
Mark, I took out of there a couple of things. And these are things that you and I have talked a little bit about. The biggest thing is, without saying it, Nick is like, he's just got to get his body right. He's got to get rehabbed and get to a point where all the limbs and fingers and knees and toes and all of that are surgically fixed, and he can now get stronger, get his body where it needs to be, as opposed to rehabbing an injury all the time. Go get stronger. Go get go lose a little bit of weight. Get your body right now that you can, as opposed to get that body part right that you injured before we can start putting on some you know, muscle and all that kind of stuff. That's what I took out of it. And that, I said at the time, was the right move. He had had a couple instances where that, you know, arm, elbow, whatever it was giving him issue. Go get it right now so that by the time you get to January, you've done the rehab. Now in January, you can hit the ground running with conditioning, get yourself ready for the season. Your thoughts about Kenyon and what Nick had to say?
My belief is, and you know how good I am at evaluating offensive linemen.
Yeah,
does he push the other big guy out of the way effectively? That's it.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, that he's got to, it's up to him. It's up to him as long as he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, health is up to you too, by the way you strengthen conditioning.
Absolutely.
By the way you go through that whole process. As long as you do that properly and maintain health through that, because I know some things are unavoidable, he should be okay.
Yeah.
He should be okay. There's a reason why they drafted him where they did.
Mm-hmm.
They had big belief in him, and look at him in college and all that, but you've got to be able to do that at this level. So I keep praying that he's going to be able to come around, because I think you have options there. You have Kendrick Green as mm-hmm. well. You have other guys who could possibly rise up and help you at that guard spot.
Yeah, no doubt. Nick also talked about Titus Howard, so if you want to check all that out, go check out the Odyssey app. But we just wanted to hit the jukebox numbers on a few of those and how they could impact the Texans' running game. Got to get it right. Got to get it better. Now, it doesn't have to be top of the league, but it does have to be better. I had this conversation with former Houston Chronicle writer Brooks Cabina at the Combine. He was asking, you know, what do you think? And I was like, well, you know, we got to improve the run game. And he was like, do you? And I was like, yeah, I think you do. Not to number one in the league, But you just have to give CJ something to take the pressure off.
Consistent,
take the pressure off.
Sustainable attack with the running game.
Very well said. Yeah. Very well said. Also well said, Drew Doherty. Also well said, Nico Collins. The two of them got together, waxed poetic about the 2023 season. We'll have that for you next right here on Texans All Access.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to a Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. Glad to be with you. A reminder, Mark, me, Indy Kalu tomorrow night, Momentum BMW 6 to 7, just off the Southwest Freeway. Make sure you get over there, hang out with us, chat, chop it up, take a picture, get an autograph, whatever you're looking for. I don't care. Three of us will have you covered from 6 to 7. A lot to talk about with ND, and I love when we get a chance to do events with ND. So come check that out. It's time to check this out with Nico Collins. He caught up with Drew Doherty late last week. A few minutes with Nico Collins and Drew Doherty.
It's always a good day when you get to talk with wide receiver Nico Collins. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great, man. Enjoying this offseason. Just getting ready, man. It's feeling great. I'm blessed to be in the opportunity that I'm in, man. Just feeling blessed all around. Feeling happy.
Good to hear. You mentioned the offseason. What have you been doing since we saw you last when the playoffs ended?
Man, just resting. Just resting. Seeing my family. Just taking my mind off the game of football for a minute. It was a long season. Fun season. But just get my mind off of it, you know, just a little bit. Travel a little bit. Went to Vegas, Super Bowl, Hawaii. Back home to Alabama, see my fam. Back in Houston now. I'm back on it. Vacation over with. I'm just enjoying the grind, man. So, back at it.
Vegas, Hawaii, Bama, and Houston. That's a nice quartet. It's a nice four places to go. So, when you look back at this season, 2023, what's going to be the first thing that pops in your mind?
Man, excitement. It was excitement. Yeah, that's it. Just straight excitement, man. Just fun. Just having fun with the game, man. Just playing the game, playing your whole life. Just watching all the work you've been putting in the offseason, you know, come to show on Sundays, you know, during the prime time, when the time matters, man. And so now I feel like it's only right. Just it's only up from here. Just feed off the momentum, feed off the energy from last year, man. Just continue to build, continue to grow, and continue to work on my craft.
Wide receiver Nico Collins, you had a lot of fun moments last year. Some of the most fun moments for me to watch of you were you just punishing dudes. I mean, just getting violent, especially like in the Colts game. I never knew, and I've talked about this with you a few times, but I never knew that was a part of your game, how nasty you get after the catch.
Man, you got to get nasty after the catch. You got to go square. When the ball touches your hands, it's like, oh, yeah. Now everybody trying to attack you. Now everybody watching you. So it's only right you're going to make a play, man. And just you see a defender just trying to tackle you, man. It's only right you just lower your shoulder. It's only right, man. Just set the tone. You know, show the other team that you're not scared. You know, it's just you out there having fun, enjoying the game, man. And it kind of set the tone for the whole team. You know, I feel like once you get that excitement, once you get the juice from everybody, the crowd, the team, you know, it's a ball game. It's going to be a great feeling for everybody, man. Can't wait to get back with the group, man, get ready for OTAs, and just get back and pick up where we left off.
Yeah, I mean, the way you played, that you were the swarm mentality. I mean, people associate that with the defense typically, but that was, I mean, nobody can deny that, right?
Yeah, it's probably both sides of the ball, man. You know, blocking, after the catch, doing your route, man, just whatever. Just have that relentless mindset, you know, whenever you step on the field. You know, that's whatever you do, man, go out and have fun. Can't wait for everybody to get back in the building, man. Get back to it. Push each other. Man, you know, OTAs, it's a grind. You know, it's going to be fun, though, man. Just new faces, new juice. It's time to reload.
Wide receiver Nico Collins. Reload is something that the Texans and all NFL teams are doing right now. Let's talk about the Texans reload, what you've seen through a few days of free agency. Man. I imagine you're pretty excited about what you see.
I'm real excited, man, yeah. Nick and D'Amico, you know, Kyle, they know what to do for the facility, man. They picking the right people. And it's only right for OTAs. It's going to be fun. And, man, just I feel like it's going to be unstoppable, you know, as everybody get the groove, everybody, you know, build the chemistry, man, brotherhood. Everybody bought in, man. And can't wait, man, to shot the reel again.
When you see some of the moves defensively that have been made, what do you think?
Major, man. All I'm saying, D'Amico, man, you know what he's doing. You know, I'm on the offensive end, but the defense look damn good. All in the D-line, linebacker, secondary. Yeah, them boys going to probably be the number one defense in the league. You know, I'm calling it right now. If not number one, it's going to be the top, you know. But the boys going to be special, man. I can't wait to see it.
Bold words there from Nico Collins. All right, how about the offense? You, Tank, the rest of the Dalton Schultz is coming back. When you saw the news about Dalton coming back, what was the excitement level
there? Man, it was huge, man. It was huge, man. Since day one, Dalton, man, came in, you know, we always, you know, talking, you know, always asking him questions, you know, just him being that vet, man, is huge, man. We need that shoulder to lean on. We need the advice from a man. And for him to come in and do what he did, man, for him to get the extensions, man, it's well-deserved. Everything he got, man, is well-deserved, man. I'm happy for him. And, you know, he's about to lead his team, man, and the whole offense, man. We're just about to continue to improve, continue to push each other, man, continue to have fun and play for one another.
Another leader of the team, C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. Yes, what might be possible with you guys in year two in this system with all the coaches coming back? That's a big deal too, right?
That's huge, man, because my last couple of years, man, it wasn't like that. You know, it was different coach changes, but we solid now, man. I feel like we found our foundation, man, and year two for C.J., I feel like for him, man, it's only going to get better. You know, he'll continue to ball out, continue to be him, man. You know, nothing changing. I feel like he's going to continue to chase his craft and the rest of us, O-line, receivers, running backs, tight ends, man. I feel like everybody as a collective offensive unit, man, we feel like we all going to chase, you know, them details, man, that we feel like we need to improve on from last year.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Continue to climb, man. You know, watch film whenever we get our pads back, man, and work on my craft. You know, work on the things I feel like I need to work on, because I just felt like it was some stuff I need to work on, improve on, you know, from this year. So can't wait, man, to attack the grind, because part of it, man, you got to love the craft, because you get the show out in prime time.
Going to keep it close to the vest. I respect it. Yes, I respect it. So what's it like going around town this year versus maybe this time last year and the year before that?
It's different, man. It's real different, man. You see the excitement in the fans, man, talking about the Texans, you know, and OTAs, the free agency, man. You know, you see the excitement for next year, man, and it's setting the tone, man. It's boiling the pot for next year, man. Can't wait to be a part of it.
Nico Collins, always good to be with you, my friend. Yes, best of luck. It was a fun 2023, and I can't wait, like the rest of us, for 2024.
Oh, it's only fun, man. It's time to reload. It's for the city. Let's go.
Love that, dude. We're going to have Nico with Mark and I a little bit later in the week. Probably, I think, Thursday or Friday, we'll have Nico on with us. We had a chance to catch up. You heard Will Anderson a little bit earlier. We had Nico, Jimmy, Jalen, trying to think who else, Christian Harris, and Nico, Tank. Yeah, so we have all those guys lined up for you. I think Tank's coming up on Wednesday. We always have a fun time talking with Tank, and we have a fun time talking to you and with you. Appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so much. Big thanks to Will, to Mark, to Drew, to all of you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, go Texans.